companies around the state. So it became an issue for us to go out and check on the problems. And we found many, many problems with school districts in funding both construction of buildings, but also in basic maintenance of buildings. We found school districts that have to, for example, a boiler will go out. They don't have the funding to pay for that boiler, so they go into their operating funds to do that. I mean, you have to fix a boiler in the middle of the winter. We had a school district where a child put a foot through the floor. We have school districts where they have so much asbestos that they tape over tiles and carpet in order to, because in order to fix it, they would have to go through a major remediation of asbestos. So a lot of those kinds of things. I think you have a summary of our audit findings before you. One of the things that's not in the summary, and it concerns us and the Secretary of State quite a bit, is that there are a lot of states now facing court challenges over inequality of school building facilities. And you find courts in New Jersey, Ohio, and Texas, Arizona, and other places that are the courts are saying under basic kinds of constitutional provisions for equal schools that they're not doing that because they're not funding equal facilities. And we've not faced that here in Oregon, but it could be a possible problem in the future. So I'd be glad to answer any questions you might have.
Questions? Representative Carlson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess this could be for either of you. One of the things that came up in the House side on the Revenue Committee was this idea of partnership between the local school districts and this state bonding capacity. Could you talk a little bit about how that would work in terms of the match and this idea of having a carrot for local districts to actually pass bonds at the local level because they would be getting the state match for that?
Yes, Mr. Chair, Representative Carlson. It's anticipated that if, because this requires a match, the local bond measure to have already passed or to pass to get a match, the school district could look at their project, figure out the cost of their project, and if they are going to be able to get a match, then that reduces the amount they need to ask from the local voters. So it just saves taxpayers money. And for those districts, especially that are on the edge and have a harder time passing some of their local bond measures, it means that they may be able to get one passed where if they had to ask for the entire amount, they would not be able to.
Okay.
That's true.
Okay. Another issue that's come up is high-growth districts, and we've heard a lot of testimony in our committee about how high-growth districts have been affected through the school funding formula. What did you find in your audit in terms of high-growth districts and their needs around the state? Are they able to satisfy those needs with the revenues that they have?
Mr. Chair, Representative Carlson, the audit didn't look at that specific issue. We found that there's quite a wide disparity in a school district's ability to, for one thing, sell a bond issue to their voters. And we had one school district that had buildings condemned because they went, I think, two or three times to voters and couldn't get a bond issue passed for things like electrical systems that were failing and water systems and other things. So they literally condemned the building. So it would vary throughout the state. And it would depend on where the high growth is and whether they can sell a bond issue or not.
Mr. Chair, Representative Carlson, to just follow up on that, we do have a lot of support, and as you know, some testimony in the House Revenue Committee, that even in districts that can pass bond measures, when the fast-growing districts are filling their schools even before they are finished, they're having to return to their voters so often that they're maxing out, and yet they're still growing. So it's a different problem, but this resolution would address both the maintenance needs, the new schools, and also refurbishing of the older schools as well.
One more question.
Yes, sure.
Third issue that I want to deal with is the fact that this is going to be a referral to the voters. And I recall we had some discussion in the House Revenue Committee trying to determine the marketability of getting a ballot measure passed.
And I noticed on this, and I think this must have come from your office,
yes,
right?
Yes, sorry, I did.
There is a bullet down here as I was scanning through it that I saw that talked about your belief that public support for OHSU by itself may not be as compelling to voters as bringing K through 12 in with that. Is that your position, and could you elaborate on that a little bit?
Yes, Mr. Chair, Representative Carlson, when these two issues were linked, there were a couple of reasons they were, one of them being that it seemed most efficient to amend the Constitution one time or to have one referral out to the voters. Secondly, they're dealing with a bonding authority, and also it seemed like a healthy marriage for the benefit of the Oregon Health Science University Project, because we've pulled on this issue the school support out there, the support for K through 12 is very strong, and the OHSU project isn't as broadly known. And because of that, it was felt that it would help ensure the success of this bond measure to make sure that both items passed. Without the K through 12, I won't speak for them, but OHSU has along the way wanted the K through 12 piece in there because it helps them with the voters as well.
Thank you.
Anything else? Senator Yee.
Mr. Chair, I don't understand how do you provide matching funds to finance capital costs? How does that work? So what is the share of the state and local?
Well, that would be, the specifics of that would be addressed in implementing legislation, which is not going through in this legislative session. After a work group on this in the House, I decided just to pose the question to the voters and deal with the specifics of it in a future legislative session should it pass. But I can tell you what has been talked about, and there would be as a sliding scale to help provide some equity amongst the school districts. I've heard 10% to 50% match, 20% to 50% match. Those specifics would be addressed, but in a future legislature. But the program itself would likely be administered by the Board of Education, and there would be an application process, and whatever money is available, the legislature would decide how much to allocate toward that. So, of course, I'm presuming legislature wouldn't match the entire need out there, but it would be an application process that the Board of Education would administer with a sliding scale.
So instead
to provide
of
some equity.
It would be a first-come, first-served basis, or depending on the qualifications of the applications, and then determined by the board, Department of Education?
Mr. Chair, yes. it could be any of those, and that would be for the legislature to decide how best to implement it, make it the most efficient.
So the buildings would be funded partly by local property taxes and partly by state income taxes?
Mr. Chair, Senator Yee, yes, partly.
Mm-hmm.
For those school districts who would be taking advantage of this program, the state would be providing a match from the state. It's a general obligation bond. Whether it's backed by the general fund is really a decision for the next or for a future legislature. It's there, and the treasurer has been exploring this already to look for some dedicated revenue streams. We already have a general obligation bonding authority. Only two of those programs are backed by the general fund right now. The others, including veterans, have dedicated revenue streams. And the treasurer is looking at the Common School Fund as being one possible source for a partial dedicated revenue stream toward this. So it could be general fund backed, but it's not necessarily required to be here.
Mm-hmm. That's not in the resolution. That would be.
That's not in the resolution. That would be in the implementing.
The wording of matching funds.
Yeah,
Mr. Chairman.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. I have another question.
Yes, sure.
I'm surprised to see maintenance of schools, such as repair of boiler or taking out asbestos from the wall has to require a bonding to fund those projects. Seems to me, under good management, the school should set aside reserve for repair and maintenance, rather than have to go out for bond measures to fund those repair and maintenance.
Mr. Chair, Senator Yee, mm-hmm. excellent question. The schools do have maintenance funds in their budgets. What happens is that because of the squeeze that gets put on them for operating costs, they tend to not use those funds for the maintenance. I mean, we've seen buildings that had years and years of years of not being painted because they made the decision to use the dollars for operating costs rather than maintenance. Whether that is a good decision or not is, I guess, a decision of their boards and the people in that district.
Mm-hmm.
So it comes down to a trade-off between operating funds, paying teachers and the like, and putting money into a boiler or a new building. Currently, the bond funds at local level can't be used for maintenance, so they have to they can only use those bond funds for a capital expenditure. So they have to build a new building if they don't have the money for the repair or the maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Follow up. It just seems under good preventive maintenance, they shouldn't have large maintenance project they have to face all of a sudden. So I think under proper management, those projects should be taken care of under preventive maintenance. Well, this is just ideally speaking, good management, you can prevent a lot of expenses. But I understand not everybody exercises good management.
Well, and I think sometimes it's not just good management, but sometimes just bad circumstances and luck. I suppose if you've got money, you've put away in the maintenance reserve you're planning on using to roof the building, and then the boiler blows up in the middle of the winter, you're going to have to repair the boiler, and all of a sudden you don't have the money for the roofing anymore, even though you'd been planning on using that for the roofing and weren't anticipating something like a boiler expense. And in a small district, that can be your maintenance reserve just about to fix that boiler or replace it.
Mr. Chair, Senator Yee, that is one small part of this bill. It's not anticipated that this bonding would generally be used for maintenance or even deferred maintenance costs. Most of the districts right now are either looking, the fast-growing districts are looking just to meet their needs as far as providing schools for their children. And some of the other buildings are some of the other problems in repair are much more expensive than just a boiler or a roof there. Very broad renovations that are needed to either update with technology and structural concerns. This would also include seismic concerns as well. So the impetus for this and the motivation for this isn't to just address deferred maintenance. That's one thing it could, but it's a much broader issue than that.
Anything else, Representative Hans?
Senator, you bring up a good point about management. I think one of the things that if we look at this from a statewide perspective about management and trying to get the best interest rates and bond rates that we can, that this might be a management tool. Now, you had some graphics, I think, when we had this for the House. Can you lay out the picture for us in terms of general revenue bonds versus GO bonds that we'd be allowed to use here and how that would translate to a cost savings?
General obligation bonds are much cheaper than revenue bonds. I don't have the numbers specifically in front of me. You have? I don't. But it is the cheapest bond available to the state, the best interest rate available to the state.
Well, we were looking at, Mr. Chair, I think it was on a $70 million bond issue, the savings.
Well, here, I guess I could use OHSU. Sure, thank you. As an illustration here, on this $200 million for the OHSU project, if that to issue that in general obligation bonds, it's a $70 million difference between issuing that in interest savings than issuing that in revenue bonds. So I guess you could do the math.
Mr. Chair, in terms of local schools, that's just money in the pockets of local property tax. That's savings.
Mr. Chair, Senator, Representative House, I promoted you. That's part of. I don't think I have the authority to, but I do. That's part of the leverage here, and that's part of the role we see the state having here is that it's helping just to get a little more bang for the buck out of those local tax dollars, whether they be property tax or income tax or other.
Okay. Any more on the beer tax increase? Come here. Oh, Romaine. Didn't see you come in. Is there more discussion on the A3s? If not, Carol, please call the roll. This is motion on adoption of the A3s. I'll go ahead and call the roll.
No.
You guys need to learn how to speed this process up. Yeah.
Be thoughtful.
No.
No.
Aye.
The motion fails.
Chair.
Requires a
yes. Vote explanation.
Vote explanation, sure.
Yeah, you know, last time I voted no on this was just a week or two ago, but the conversation with the proponents was my main objection is putting it in this year for the next biennium and then not funding it directly. I think if we want to attack this problem head on, of which I have no problem, I agree with, we need to appropriate money for the debt service and put it in the budget. That to me is more appropriate than doing it this way. So, let's hopefully we'll bring this back. And
I'll bet we'll see this back again. I think this is one of these ideas that takes a couple sessions. But I'll bet this in our lifetime we will see this in the Constitution.
Yeah,
thank you.
As has merit, but we need to pay our bills up front directly. So.
Okay. All right, then motion fails. We have before us still the unamended H.J.R. 19. I think to move this along then, the chair would move that the House concur in the Senate amendments dated June 22 to H.J.R. 19 and the resolution be readopted. Is there any discussion on that motion? That then would be to concur basically in your Senate amendments and pass the H.J.R. 19 without the K-12. Is there any objection? Let's take a roll call on that. I guess that's our final vote on this. Carol?
Senator Otterbein.
Aye.
Harper.
Aye.
Heath. Aye.
Representative
Carlson. Courtesy. Aye.
No.
Aye. Motion carries. So we need a carrier in the Senate?
Good enough.
Oh, you don't. That's right. It's going to go back to you. I better carry it in the House.
Can I do vote explanation?
Unless you want to be a courtesy carrier.
Yeah. I think OHSU is marvelous, and I am very much in favor of this proposal. I'm just disappointed that we couldn't add the K-12 in for all of the issues that I raised about marketability, about high-growth districts, and what we heard in our district of the issues that are going on in those trying to find the capital, local option being a problem, and so forth. So I certainly don't oppose the proposal as it is. I just wish it could include the additional amendments.
I agree, and I appreciate Senator Harper's comments. I think that, and again, we all know it takes sometimes two or three sessions for an idea to get legs and go, and this has been an instructive exercise, I think, for both chambers, and next session, I think we'll see this back and maybe have a chance.
Sometimes 3 minutes and a sleight of hand.
That's true. Representative Hass.
I do understand where the senators are coming from, but it's just the risk of sounding like a broken record. We do have these high growth districts in Washington County and Deschutes County with the people that we've asked to run those schools are looking at the legislature saying, what do you want us to do with these flood of kids that we've got coming in here?
Rent space in Portland.
And the legislature is ignoring that help. And I think this was at least one tool that could have answered their call.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, Mr. Chair, while I'm making statements, I think that I too agree with Senator Harper. But I also, there is, I've had a bill in this session, in this legislature for now, three sessions, the open enrollment for schools bill, and I think that an idea like this coupled with a bill like that will be much more palatable to me, because then parents will be able to allow their students to go anywhere in the state they so choose. And if this would have it, the effect of evening out the districts, the facilities and districts at that point in time. So I would like to see two ideas move together that would both help education.
Okay. All right. With that, we have concluded our business. Please stay around to make sure you sign the conference committee report, and we are adjourned. Thank you, members. It is. It's either that or nothing. For this, but if the proponent. Okay.
Conference Committee on House Bill 3057, Wednesday, July 4, 4 p.m., Hearing Room A, Work Session, Pick 005, Side A.